That voice, Miles Eckert, Gold Star Sun. When I saw this cover and the article by Cameron Richardson, August, my heart stopped, as it does every time I see the words Gold Star. As president of the American Gold Star Mothers Incorporated, Department of Florida, and a member of the American Legion Auxiliary, I can't thank you enough for your article. The explanation of the Gold Star pins is especially important because as individuals we are not readily recognizable, even wearing our pins. Educating the public about our nation's Gold Star mothers and families is an ongoing process. With the support of the American Legion family, I know there is never an explanation necessary. You have embraced the Gold Star family. Joanne Maitland, Stuart, Florida. All the horrors of all the ages. The article by Alan W. Dowd, August, is well-reasoned and interesting, but from the perspective of classic military strategy and the constitutional requirement of 2/3 senatorial approval of any peace treaty, Woodrow Wilson's 14-point proposal that included peace without victory and an armistice without German surrender and occupation was opposed not only by General Pershing, but by enough senators to prevent its passage. The resulting armistice left Germany with its army and Reichstag, and Adolf Hitler with the ability to convert the Weimar Republic into a totalitarian dictatorship. As commander-in-chief of the army, Wilson had no overall strategic objective, and his premature peace proposal left the futures of the European powers undecided, the citizens of each war weary and saddled with huge debts. Meanwhile, Congress showed little interest in the League of Nations and a novel approach to settlement of disputes and maintenance of international peace. Each of our successful wars was undertaken with an overall strategic objective that was ultimately carried out. Recent history demonstrates that the United States should not commit itself to war without such an objective and a declaration of war by Congress. Charles E. Wright, Lincoln, Nebraska. Foreign-born American heroes. I enjoyed reading Al Manchester's article, August, about foreign-born recipients of the Medal of Honor. I wonder how many were naturalized citizens of the country for which they fought, and some died. To those who were not, being granted citizenship would have been a greater honor than receiving the medal. It grieves me to know that many served and died without being granted citizenship. This policy smacks of the racism that denied them honors at the time of their heroic acts. My father, born in Italy, was awarded his citizenship while serving with the 56th Infantry in France during World War I. Marcello J. Rossano, Alvin, Texas. Al Manchester honored 8 great warriors and recipients of the Medal of Honor who were not U.S. natives. There are many foreign-born Medal of Honor recipients, especially in the period from the Civil War through World War II, many of whom were not citizens. Also, due to many only having recently immigrated prior to military service, identifying them as being from a certain U.S. state could not be done because of insufficient records. The Medal of Honor Grove, created by the Freedoms Foundation at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, recognizes these heroes with a special memorial and identifies them only by country of origin. Consistent with the ethnic heritage of our United States, the most numerous were from Ireland, 65, and Germany, 34. Brian O. Remy, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. While I was enthralled with the stories of valor of these brave men fighting for a land not that of their birth, I would like to point out that this phenomenon is far older than what transpired in the fields of France and Belgium in the Great War. I am a department commander for Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War. Of the more than 40,000 British North Americans, Canadians, who joined the Union armies, more than 5,000 gave their last full measure of devotion to the causes of Union and freedom. 3 attained the rank of Major General, and at least 34 were awarded the Medal of Honor for heroism in battle. David M. Lamb, Urbandale, Iowa. Last of the Code Talkers. Henry Howard's article, August, brought tears to my eyes. What wonderful men they were, and to think that when they came home they could not talk about what they did. Myrna Smith, Miamisburg, Ohio. Although the Navajo are the most recognized, many other tribes had men in this operation. I understand these soldiers were Army. The last survivor from South Dakota, Clarence Wolf Guts, passed away last winter. He had a cousin, Ivor Crow Eagle Sr., who was also a code talker. Harley Furry, Winter, South Dakota. Serve those who served. Kudos to Matt Grills for his article on Fisher House, August. In 2007, I was detailed to President George W. Bush's Commission on Care for America's Returning Wounded Warriors to assist on logistical issues. There I met Kenneth Fisher, one of the main members of the commission. I was amazed by his support of the U.S. military, active duty, reserve, National Guard, retirees, and family members. Mr. Fisher would give his own shirt off his back if it could help a veteran. The steps he took to help wounded warriors were from the heart, not an attempt to get on the front pages of newspapers. Never did I see him take credit for the Fisher Houses or ask for donations. Once I became aware of what the organization does for veterans and their families, I became a strong supporter. Doug Kahn, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Select Committees on Benghazi. In answer to the typical Democratic response from Representative Stephen Horsford, Big Issues, August, to the tragic Benghazi consulate attack, I would direct one question to him. Why hasn't all information on the attack been released by President Obama 2 years later? Americans would like to know exactly what happened, as well as the families of the four victims. The latter group has repeatedly been misled in learning what happened. Don Mazin, Glendale, California. A system worth saving. National Commander Dan Dellinger makes a critical point that seems totally forgotten in the management of VA medical services, Commander's Message, August. Adequate care for veterans who returned home, changed by war, was then and is now the essential purpose of our organization, he writes. VA's primary medical mission is supposed to be the same, to assist those who return home, changed by war. But over the years, that mission has been enlarged again and again, until today those who return home changed by war compete for VA services with hundreds of thousands of veterans who wore the uniform for relatively short periods of time and have never been near a combat zone. The cheating and dishonesty that have come to light in the administration of today's VA are the results of VA being given a mission impossible. Tom McDonald, Carmel Valley, California. The American Legion magazine welcomes your opinions. Include your hometown and a daytime phone number for verification. All letters published are subject to editing. Due to the volume of mail received, not every letter can be acknowledged. The American Legion magazine, P.O. Box 1055, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46206, magazine@legion.org.